This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Who would be a Wolves fan, eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Blast in the shot. What a goal!
Good evening, Wolves fans. It's little Dan here hosting the latest Wolves Fancast match preview episode, and it's absolutely boiling hot on this Thursday night. I hope wherever you're joining us, you're okay, healthy, and keeping safe. Tonight, we'll be discussing game week 2 of the Premier League, touching on the latest transfer news out of Molineux, Connor Cody's exit, Gonzalo Guedes' arrival, and whatever the latest is with Morgan Gibbs-White. On tonight's episode, I've got with me Jeffo and Kim. Kim, how are you?
Sound, apart from being boiling hot, but yeah, all good, thank you. Ready to hit Molineux, a very hot Molineux on Saturday. So yeah, all good.
All eager to get back to Molineux. How are you, Jeffo?
I'm good, man. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting back down the Molineux on Saturday. It's safe, it's a bit warm. Oof, no, I'm not looking forward to that bit.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute scorcher on Saturday, apparently. T-shirts and shorts weather again. Obviously, the big news coming out of Molineux this week is the exit of club captain, leader, legend Connor Cody. Joined Everton on loan for the rest of the season with an option to buy. What was your thoughts on that, Jeffo?
I was saying on the preview for the last game that it's strange if he leaves, and I still think it's a little bit strange that he's gone at this point. I think a lot of the conversations that are coming out, people are trying to find conspiracies behind it, and it's just like, okay, the lad wants to play football. We all knew if we went to a back four that he wasn't going to get game time, and he was going to have to fight for his place. So he's took what you might describe as an easy ride out and go to Everton on loan, which is, you know, he's going to get some game time there. So if it's the easy road and it means that he still plays and he gets on that flight to the World Cup, then so be it.
Any frustration in regards to the actual transfer scenario, that option to buy Kim?
Well, yeah, because I think I actually said to my friend, I said, if we loan Connor Cody, I am cutting up my season ticket. This was before it happened, and obviously it happened. Obviously, I have gone back on that, but I can understand the reasons as to why we've let him go, and obviously he had a desire to play football, and that's fair enough. But I would have just preferred if we'd have actually made a clean break and actually got some money back for him. Like, you know, I'm hearing sort of this $5 million loan fee, but I'd like to have, for us to just got 15, 20 million up front and being able to reinvest it in the team, because that's my worry now. I think it's fair enough that we're going to play a back four and he doesn't fit into that, but if we were to lose the next sort of few games, then would we need to go back to a back five potentially just to get some points on the board? And if that's the case, then obviously Cody's was the best person to come back into the team. So it's a difficult one.
It was a bold move by Bruno. Rumours sort of coming out of the club is that Bruno set his stall out quite early into the pre-season, letting Cody know that he wasn't in his plans for the 22-23 season. I mean, I think a lot of the fan base last summer would have reasoned with Bruno if he'd came in and done that straight away, but after the last season, the lack of goals, 38 league goals in the Premier League season, is just not good enough. If you're not going to be sort of competing for European places or in a relegation battle, the least they can do is entertain us, and I think that's the sort of instruction that Bruno's been given by the board this summer.
And I do agree with you, but I just think there's still players that we need to bring in to be able to comfortably play that formation, i.e. some central midfielders to play alongside Neves.
We're talking of the only error. Yeah. the area on the pitch where we haven't got like two players for each position. Like the centre back now, we've got, if we're going to play two, then we've got five. You know what I mean? In the midfield, like you say, we haven't got enough players. We've still got the same three that we went into this start of the season last with. So that's something that still needs addressing.
I was sort of quick on my social media at the weekend, giving Leander Dendonka the praise that I thought he deserved. I thought he was absolutely solid. He wasn't outstanding. He just did what he was asked to do. He got himself into some decent positions again. Obviously, wasn't clinical with his finishing, but apart from the two decent sides by Melia, I thought he was probably in the running for man of the match on Saturday against Leeds. But as good as Leander Dendonka is, he needs to be upgraded. Obviously, Matheus Nunes keeps on being linked to Wolves. Whether that's an actual feasible transfer, we'll have to see by the end of this window. Man City and Liverpool have apparently come out in the last couple of days saying that they're not going to be sort of chasing that signing this summer. I think they're both sort of primed to tussle over Jude Bellingham next summer. So hopefully we can get Nunes, but we'll see. One of the players that has been linked away from Wolves constantly over the last few weeks is Morgan Gibbs-White. Nottingham Forest have apparently placed a bid of around £42 million for Morgan Gibbs-White, £25 million up front and £17 million in add-ons. Listening to those figures there, Jeffo, £25 million up front, is that something that would tease you into maybe offloading the Stafford Bourne midfielder?
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about this all day. And I think, as I said earlier when I was talking to you about it, that 25 million, and then if we get 5 million in easy add-ons, like you say, if they stop up or he gets a certain amount of games, then I think £30 million. And then if we get something further down the line, is more than fair for a player who's had one good season in the Championship. I mean, you've got to remember, this is a player that's still only got one Premier League goal and one Premier League assist to his name. It's a lot of money for a player to play at this level.
Nottingham Forest are throwing some serious money at this attempt to stay up this season. Obviously, Steve Cooper, great coach for what he's done so far, was unlucky not to take Swansea up a season or so ago. Obviously, he's got a bit of history with Morgan Gibbs-White at the England, was it under-16s, under-17s that they won? Yeah. The one tournament. So, obviously, he's got a big appetite to get Morgan Gibbs-White there this summer. Obviously, linking him up with Jesse Lingard on paper is quite an exciting prospect for Nottingham Forest fans, but they still haven't really bought anyone, in my opinion, that suggests they've got enough to stay up. What's your opinions on the move with Morgan Gibbs-White, Kim?
I'm just shocked that the bids just seem to be going higher and higher. I mean, it feels like I think we probably will sell him in the end, but I just think we're holding out for as much money as they're likely to stump up, and it feels like they're probably just going to keep going higher and higher with their bidding until they get him, essentially. And now we've brought in Guedes, I just don't see why we wouldn't sell him, almost, because, you know, we can almost use that money for Guedes and then obviously have some change and buy some other players. And I just don't think he's destined to do well for Wolves, Morgan Gibbs-White. I've just got this feeling that he's had some altercations with the fans a little bit, hasn't he, like over time, and I just feel like he tries so hard to impress sometimes that he just doesn't tend to do the basics very well, and he's still trying his little flicks and tricks where I don't think the fans have got much patience, whereas if he moves to Forest, I think, you know, he knows he's going to be playing every week, you know, if they buy him in for that much money. So yeah, I would literally drive him there tomorrow personally.
Speaking of Gonçalo Guedes, we've got an absolute cracking guest of us tonight. It's Gonçalo Guedes, everyone. Only kidding. I wish we had. Obviously, we haven't got the budget for John Ruddy or Gonçalo Guedes. We've got John Paul at Wolves for Sale on Facebook and Instagram. How are you doing, John?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I had a bit of a technical difficulty back then. We're all good.
Glad to have you on. Just give us a brief sort of rundown of your social media channels, what you're doing on a sort of daily basis, and how you came about being a Wolves fan.
So being a Wolves fan, started going to the games about 96, so just towards the end of sort of Steve Ball, Robbie Keane sort of era. Then it's been going ever since, sort of on and off, I guess, mainly. Then again, the last sort of 7-8 years, I've pretty much gone home and away, as much as I can. Set up the Wolves page in, I think it's about May on Facebook, so it's Wolves Buy, Sell, Swap and Show. Set up in May, and then we're about to hit 3,000 members within the last sort of 3 or 4 months, which is pretty good. And then I got my Instagram as our Wolves for Sale. So selling shirts pretty much every day or every other day across there. And then we've got some great members on the group. We've got Eddie Honda, who's a sort of match worn specialist on there. I'll do more replica sort of shirts. And then I got Steve Plant as well. He's got a lot of involvement on there. So it's going pretty well. Yeah.
Just give the viewers at home just a brief rundown on the shirt that you're wearing currently, because that's a bit of a rare one, isn't it?
So I thought, I was having a dig through. I was trying to decide which one to sort of pull out the bag for the podcast. But this is this is the 2000 shirt. This is one of the concept designs for that year. So Admiral put this forward to the club. The club decided to go with the WWFC branding instead and went with a sort of rusty gold colour that year. But yeah, so this is a one-off shirt. As far as I know, this is the only one that was made. I'm sure there was others, but they're sort of in the darker wardrobe somewhere, I'm sure. But yeah, I picked this up a couple of weeks ago, Steve Plant. Yeah, it's one of the more rarer ones.
Speaking of Wolves shirts, Wolves Fancast currently have a shirt competition on at the moment. All you have to do is obviously go onto Twitter, search Wolves Fancast, obviously at WOLVESFANCAST, and find our pinned tweet. Once you find the pinned tweet, make sure you're following Wolves Fancast. Press the retweet on the pinned tweet, and we'll be picking a winner before the 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday at home to Fulham. You can, just to repeat, all you have to do is retweet our pinned tweet, follow Wolves Fancast, and you'll be in the running for a new Wolves home or away shirt of your choice. Thanks for those who continue to follow Wolves Fancast, part of the 90 Min network. This week, game week 2 of Premier League, Wolves are home to Fulham. Last night, Wolves were actually drawn at home to Preston North End in the second round of the Carabao Cup North. A few other ties there, Bolton versus Aston Villa, Leeds at home to Barnsley in a sort of Yorkshire derby, Tranmere at home to Newcastle. I don't think there's any other big clubs there worth mentioning, to be honest, guys. So we'll quickly jump back to game week 2 of the Premier League. Obviously mentioned Wolves at home to Fulham. Aston Villa, Everton kick off the weekend, 12:30 on BT Sport. Arsenal versus Leicester, 3 o'clock. Brighton, Newcastle, 3 o'clock. Man City, Bournemouth, 3 o'clock. Southampton, Leeds, Wolves and Fulham finish off the 3 o'clock kickoffs. And then the Saturday night half 5 kickoff is Brentford versus Man United. Any sort of fixtures there, Kim, that ticker you fancy apart from Wolves versus Fulham?
I can see a lot of goals in Man City Bournemouth for obvious reasons. I think, Bournemouth might be on their own goal line for the whole game. Arsenal Leicester, I can see Arsenal probably doing well. I don't think Leicester defensively are going to be great this season. I don't know. I think just goals, I think. Southampton Leeds again, probably quite a good game in terms of probably goals, because both teams look awful defensively. And I fancy Brentford to turn Man United over. So that would be nice for our 5 game.
I did. I think Jamie Carragher first made the comment about Erik ten Hag calling him Erik 10 months. The pressure's really starting to rise on him already, isn't it? Obviously, away to Brentford on Saturday, another defeat there, and lack of transfer activity, and he's really under pressure, isn't he, Jeffo?
Yeah, it's almost like a must-win game, second game of the season for him. They were so inept and pathetic against Brighton last week. I watched a video this morning where somebody was counting out the amount of mistakes they made for the first goal, and there were 7 individual mistakes on the pitch in the lead up to that first goal. It was an absolute catalogue of errors, and it's difficult. Ten Hag's got one of the hardest jobs in football right now. That club it's a complete rebuild. You know, you have to look at what Ferguson did in his final seasons there. And I know that's a long time ago now, but all that work was done with next to nothing. And they can't invest. Man United, although they throw lots of money, they've not really, when they've done it, they've done it badly. And then now they can't do it. They can't invest in the right areas because no one will sell them because everyone's doing inflated prices.
Literally, I think Gary Neville made the comment on Sunday when Manchester United were linked to the signing of Marco Arnautovic, and he said the first thing you do when Man United call is reject the bid. It's like we said, as soon as Man United are mentioned, you just you double your asking fee, don't you? John, looking at those fixtures there, if you had to sort of put your money on one side other than Man City to pick up the 3 points, who are you putting your money on?
I think I'd probably be looking at Arsenal, to be honest. I think, I don't know what's happened to Leicester in the last sort of, well, since the transfer window. I mean, losing Schmeichel for 1 million. There just seems to be a lot going on there behind the scenes, I think. And the way Arsenal can play, I know they're inconsistent as well. I just see Arsenal bagging a few goals at home there.
Should be a good game, Arsenal versus Leicester. Obviously, Arsenal looked quite exciting the first probably half an hour against Crystal Palace before Palace came back into the game on Friday. Zinchenko and Gabriel Jesus seem to have made a massive impact for Arsenal. Any sort of, obviously, apart from Man City, Kim, who's your money on for the 3 points that this weekend?
Quite difficult, isn't it? Apart from, as you say, Man City are a home banker. Arsenal, you'd expect to win.
I think all the rest seem to be quite 50-50, don't they?
They are, really. I think you'd probably just about back Villa to beat Everton. But, again, wouldn't be surprised if we had a whole host of draws, including our game there. But, yeah, I can just see, like, both teams are scoring a lot of the games. I can see quite close games, which can, you know, obviously Liverpool, though, you'd expect to win on Monday against Palace. And just loads of goals. Chelsea Spurs, actually. I can see Tottenham beating Chelsea, actually. I think Son on the break with Kulusevski and Kane will be, I think they'll really put Chelsea to the test there. I do think sort of a 3-1 win. But yeah, be interesting. It's hard to give a prediction, isn't it? This is so early in the season.
Match of the day two on Sunday evening should be a great watch for the neutral, but obviously we're not neutrals on this show. Wolves versus Fulham, 3 o'clock on Saturday. I'm not sure how many of you actually caught much of the Fulham-Liverpool game, but from what I saw, Fulham were very unlucky not to pick up the 3 points. Did you catch it, John?
Yeah, I saw a lot of the highlights. I thought they were good. Mitrovic definitely made his presence known first game of the season. Obviously, there's a lot of question marks about whether he can hack it in the Prem or not. I think starting with two goals, he couldn't have really done much else there. He seemed to catch Alexander-Arnold sleeping on the first one. I think possession-wise, Liverpool, as you expected, the sort of the majority of the possession, but Fulham definitely took their chances. I think it'd be a good test for us, especially starting with being new to the back four as well. I think it'd be a good test to see how we form out with that.
A lot of eyes will be on João Paulinho, won't they, Saturday, Jeffo?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see him down at Molineux. I thought we might see him in a Wolves shirt this season, but it is what it is. But, I thought he played really well against Liverpool. His defensive metrics during that game, it was just incredible for someone who's just come into the league. So, we'll see how he gets on. Hopefully he plays well, but not so well that they take all the points.
What was your thoughts on the Fulham-Liverpool game? Who stands out for you in that lineup, Kim?
I think Pereira's probably one to watch. One for the FPL bench as well, obviously, as most of the players who are on the game have.
Number 18, Andreas there for the people who aren't aware of Pereira.
Yeah. So he's probably one to watch. But I think, to be honest, all their play is going to be centred around Mitrovic, isn't it? I mean, now we would have been having the conversation, oh, can Cody handle Mitrovic previously? And now it's if the two sort of centre-backs can deal with him and if, you know, if he starts getting the better of them and, you know, holding the play up and bringing all of his teammates into play, I think we could be in trouble. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that we are going to win the game. And that's a bit worrying now, considering although we've got a good run of fixtures, those fixtures are quickly going, and before we know it, we'll be into a run of, I think it's Man City and Liverpool we've got. I think it's after game week 5. So we really need to pick up something at least, I think, in this game. And then I think, yeah, we've got Tottenham, haven't we? So I can't imagine we'll pick up much there. So, yeah, for me, really, you can't say it's a must win because it's the second game of the season, but we could do with at least getting some points on the board, couldn't we?
It's got an air of a must win, hasn't it, after that defeat against Leeds and sort of tongue-in-cheek when I was in Benidorm watching Wolves versus Besiktas. It was cheekily said that it was destined that we'd get beat by Leeds and then João Paulinho would score the winner on Saturday, because it's just the amount of effort and time that we spent trying to get João Paulinho. Obviously, there was talks about him actually viewing houses in the area and whatnot, for Wolves not to sign him and then going down a different route. And the way that he performed against Liverpool on Saturday, it's going to be a game. Obviously, he's going to be key in the battle of the midfield, Dendonca, Neves. I mean, who else is likely to start for Wolves on Saturday with the news that Frankie Chan is apparently injured again? John Paul?
I know Guedes is obviously, I think, going to be the first choice, but with him just coming to the club, it's not always that common, is it, that they go straight into the first 11? But then from there, where are we looking? I guess it's... I don't know. There's talk that Traore is going to be fit. So do you look at Traore? I'm not sure. Do you look at Ronan and then put Neto up front, maybe? We feel that threadbare at the moment. It's quite difficult to see what the lineup's going to be, really, if Wang's out.
Do you throw Guedes in from the start, Kim?
I think you have to, don't you? Because we haven't got much other choice. I literally cannot stand it when we play Pedence up top, because he's literally, obviously, smaller than me. So it's kind of pointless to play someone that small up top. Who else are you going to pick up front? I just think at least Guedes, and I know he can play all across the front, but he has sort of played as a striker, albeit I think usually off another sort of main target man. But I think as you guys have said, obviously you don't usually bring a player who's just come in and start him right away. But I'm not sure we've got sort of any other choice, really. I can just see us having like four or five wingers on the pitch, but no one in the box again. So the quicker that Raul's back, the better. And I presume he might be back in the next couple of weeks. But we need him back ASAP, really.
Yeah, we need that focal point. I felt Fulham really marshalled Liverpool's front three quite well until Darwin came on in the second half. I think having that focal point for Liverpool really pressed Fulham back in that second half, and they had quite a few chances. Jordan Henderson hit the bar. I think Liverpool would have been very fortunate to steal the 3 points, but that's the sort of quality that they had. Obviously, we're missing Jimenez, but for me, I think you've just got to throw Guedes in from the start, see how much minutes you can get from him from the off. Hopefully, he can get a good error in him. Hopefully, just get off to a good start, get a goal on his debut, and hopefully the adrenaline takes him to 90 if he's required. I think having Adama back in the squad's a huge boost. I'm not sure where we are as a club in regards to selling him at the moment, what his agent's got in the pipeline for him, but how much of a boost is it for you, Jeff, having him back?
I mean, he offers something different. He's the sort of player that we probably would need in the game like this. Just if he's coming off the bench, if we can get an hour out of Guedes and then the last 30 minutes you just bring Adama on, he's the sort of player, as it seems obvious to say, but he's the sort of player who'll do something different. And, you know, he creates chances and create havoc for the Fulham defence. So it's good to have him back in all reality. But yeah, I think Guedes has got to... I'm with you. I think if he starts, he gets 60 minutes. That's really good. I think we've got to build him from there, from the start, because we are, as you say, struggling for forwards.
Kim mentioned Fancy Premier League a few moments ago, saying Andreas Pereira's a must-have. Gonçalo Guedes was actually announced as a £6 million midfielder on the Fancy Premier League app yesterday. Kim, I'll have to begrudgingly admit, is currently leading the Fancast private league. The actual general public Fancast league is currently being won by Rich Bradley with his team name, you Robin Koch, on 96 points. Does Guedes at £6 million as a midfielder tickle your fancy, Kim?
Not as of yet. just because you know the rules. You don't bring in a player that hasn't played in the league before, apart from Haaland. So I think Neto and Pudence at 5.5 for Wolves, if you wanted a Wolves player, is probably more attractive. There's obviously Martinelli around that price as well. So for me, I'd just wait and see. It's a bit too expensive for me. I think it should be in 5.5.
Ed Marshall in the comments, typical Luke, his name is pending moderation. Ed, for your own sort of peace of mind, Luke's team name, which has been rejected by the Fantasy Premier League, is COVIDAL19. Which the world's just gone mad, hasn't it? For a team like that, what is it? What's his Arturo Vidal, isn't it? The midfielder. Mm-hmm. He's called his team name COVIDAL19, and the Fantasy Premier League have rejected his team nomination.
Who would take offence to that?
I generally don't know in today's world now who would take offence. Maybe they've just targeted words like COVID and stuff as team names to reject. Leander Dendonker on the Wolves website this week, they had a bit of an article talking about the performance against Leeds, and one of his main comments in the article was, "We've just got to score." is there any more truth to that? I mean, what more does the guy need to say? I mean, he missed two good chances on Saturday. I genuinely think they were decent saves by Melier, but What was your performance, or thoughts on the performance, John, against Leeds? Because me personally, I thought we were quite nice on the eye during the majority of the game, but just lacking that critical edge in the final third.
Yeah, I agree, to be honest. I think we had, coming out the back of last season, I mean, I think the sky was the limit, really, in terms of attacking play. We seemed to link up pretty well. When you play people like Neto and Podence, you're always going to get a bit of trickery. Neto's sort of turn on the edge of the box was unbelievable against the two players. But I think Dendonker's just sort of echoing the frustration that everyone at Wolves has got at the moment, isn't it? It's just goals is exactly what we need. And then going into game week two without an actual striker is going to be another big test for the players, really. It's going to show a lot of pressure on them. But on the whole, I think there's a lot of positives to come from it. We had more shots off target, more shots on target, more possession, more passes. And they're all things that we were lacking at times last season. So, again, when you to do that against Leeds away, first game of the season, is definitely a positive, sort of positive thing to look at.
Obviously, it was your first away day of the season, Kim, on Saturday to Leeds. Just taking away the sort of blurry eyed from the little amount of alcohol that you drank. Was there any negatives that you took away from the performance?
I just think it was the goals, wasn't it? The sloppiness of the goals. I feel like they could have been prevented. I felt like Saar, and I know he hasn't played much of pre-season, he seemed a little bit sort of out of the game and should have obviously saved the one when the goal went right under him. I just worry that we're going to a back four and you obviously think, oh, great, we're going to score more goals. However, I'm still not convinced that we've got a team full of players who will score a lot of goals, if that makes sense. You know, maybe Guedes is maybe able to add to the tally. And if Raul comes back in and gives a, you know, starts to look a little bit more like himself, then maybe. But I just worry at the moment. I think we need more of a central midfielder who can sort of pop up with goals, because right now, as we know, Matidio, Neves and Dendonker, between them, you know, we're lucky if they score five between them in a season. So, yeah, I'm a little bit apprehensive, and I'll just be glad when we get some points on the board, personally.
We need a regen Colin Cameron. I don't know what Wolves recruitment team are doing at the moment, but that's what we need, a proper midfielder who can do it all. Just those late runs into the boxes, like Leander Dendonker did just before half-time on Saturday. But we just need to be clinical in that final third. It's that part of the show that I hate. It's score prediction time. Neil Lewis in the comments, 5-1 Wolves win Saturday, guys and gals. I mean, Neil, I would absolutely bloody love it if we won 5-1 on Saturday. I'll take a 1-0, but under Bruno Lage this season, I want to see more goals. I'd rather see Wolves win 3-2 than stinking out games and trying to win 1-0. I'll come to you first. John is obviously a new guest on the show. What's your score prediction for Saturday?
I'm sort of umming and ahhing between 1-1 and 2-1, but being an optimist, I'm going to go 2-1. Yeah, I can see us getting the 3 points.
Hopefully, it'd be great for us to get on the board. Obviously, those top six places are 3 points away at the moment, so we need to get back in there before it starts to drift away. Jeffo, your prediction?
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0. Ike Nouri and Geddes.
Be great, wouldn't it? Geddes in the second half in front of the South Bank.
Yeah, giving it large. Kim?
I'm going to come across a little bit more negative now, but I'm going to go 2-2. I think we'll put the ball in the net, but I don't think we'll be look very good defensively. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Hopefully we'll get the 3 points at home on Saturday. I think it'll be 2-1 Wolves. I'm going with two Geddes goals on Saturday. I've already put the tweet out live. I think it's Live Soccer Bet. They're giving odds of 28-1 for Geddes to score two or more on Saturday. And if I was a big gambler, I'd be putting a lot of money on that. Obviously, on the last episode that we did the match preview, we mentioned Vicky Wright and the Wright family are putting on an experience night at the Prince of Wales Theatre in Cannock on the 20th of October. That'll be going through the Billy Wright story, talking about some of his classic matches, showing private family photos. And there'll be powerful contributions from legends of the game like Bobby Charlton, Kevin Keegan, David Beckham and the like. We're going to have a quick break now and then we'll finish off with a quiz. As always, the Fancast quiz round is sponsored by our great friends Pixel Yeti Media. I actually got quite stumped by Eddie's quiz last week. I'm not sure if many of you saw it. He put on a cracking kick quiz. So this week I thought I'd become the Quizmaster General again. So we've got quite a few questions. I'm going to put this first one out, which is, Connor Cody scored his first goal for Wolves against Crawley Town. So I'm going to go round the table. You have to name a player in the Wolves starting lineup that night. So it was the EFL Cup, Wolves 2, Crawley 1, and Connor Cody scores the winner. So you've got to cast your mind back roughly. I think it was maybe 2015, 2016. I want you to name the players in the starting lineup that night, and I'm going to come to you first, Jeffo.
I hate you, Dan. Jesus. You really put me on the spot there.
You've got to remember, this was the EFL Cup. So when I actually looked at this earlier, there were some decent, this weren't a great Wolves side, but the decent players in that Wolves side were on the bench that night.
Oh, God.
I'll just get Bennett.
I don't think Ryan Bennett was even at Wolves.
No, I don't think he was. My brain's gone.
You're straight out. Kim, can you have a guess?
I'll go. I'm sure he was there at the time, but he might not have been playing. Danny Bart.
Danny Bart was one. John?
I'm going to go with another defender. I'm going to go with Matt Doherty, I think.
Matt Doherty was correct. I'll just keep a running score. Jeff, do you want to have another go?
Nah. Nope. No, I'll stay out.
Kim?
Oh, God. Joe Mason.
Joe Mason scored our first that night. Ooh. John?
Going to go, he might not have been playing with it being a cup game. I'm going to go with Akimi.
Akimi was on the bench that night, I believe. Going to call it quits there. Kim's won this round. She gets the 1 point. Guys, I'm just going to pull up the actual team that night once my StreamYard kicks back into gear. There was some quite well-known names that you missed out. Obviously, Connor Cody started at right back. Andy Lonergan started in goal that night. Back four of Cody, Bart, Courtney House, Matt Doherty in midfield, João Teixeira, Jack Price, Lee Evans, Jed Wallace, boo. Joe Mason, and up front that night was James Henry. I mean, just that's a wild team, ain't it? Because that's only like what, maybe 6-7 years ago. We've come a long way, haven't we, Jeffo?
That is, looking at that, that is shocking how far we've come, actually. I mean, the only player I think I'd want to see still playing for Wolves is Jack Price there.
What about Matt Doherty? Come on.
I'm not his biggest fan. I'm really not. But yeah, I can understand yes, you're saying that.
Any names stand out for you there, John?
Well, looking back, it's crazy, isn't it, compared to the team we have now? Obviously, big Courtney House at the back. Yeah. Well, I don't think I would have got Lonergan in goal, to be honest. That would have been a tough one.
Where does sort of Andy Lonergan rank for you in Wolves' worst goalkeepers, John?
Well, considering I didn't even remember him playing, I'd say pretty low, to be honest. It's going to be near the bottom. We've had some great keepers over the years.
He's up there. I mean, you met some right howlers when he was playing for us. But I think there's a couple of others that probably come to mind that probably say are ahead of him, so probably third or fourth worst.
I'm going to come to each of you with a quick question. If you add the amount of goals that Connor Cody has scored for Wolves in the Premier League plus the amount of goal line clearances he's made for Wolves in the Premier League, what does that total? I'll come to you first, Kim.
Ooh. I'll go 8.
John?
I'm going to go just lower. I'm going to go 7.
Jeffo?
I'm going to go quite a bit higher. I'm going to go 15.
The winner of that round by the total of being one closer is Jeffo. The correct answer was 12. 5 league goals, 7 goal line clearances by Connor Cody. The last few questions is a fastest answer first, and there's 3 pictures. So it's basically, there's a bit of a graphic glitch, and as soon as the player's revealed, it's whoever gets the answer right. So don't be afraid to shout out. The first one is coming up now.
I
think I heard Kim first there. Any sort of debate that it might have been you there, Jeffo?
Nah, Kim Carl. She was ahead.
Kim had the lowest. I'm never the 3 of you there.
I was going to say I'm never good at quizzes, so I don't know what's going on today.
Rampage into the lead here. Second picture is coming up now.
That looks like Stephen Hunt without a beard. That does.
No idea.
I need to show that again. No points for anyone there. I'm going to show the picture again as soon as I say the name, because he's missing his beard. He's Jack Price.
Price. No way. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, balls.
Jack Price. The Salop Perlo. And then the last one. And this is my favourite one of this week's quiz round. The picture's coming up now. Who is
Dennis Irwin?
Dennis Irwin.
I'm just going to give it Jeffo there, John, because it doesn't really matter, because Kim's absolutely rampaged to the win this week. Guys, thanks to all those that have tuned in tonight. Obviously, we'll be back on Sunday with hopefully a podcast review of Wolves' win over Fulham. Thanks again for tuning in. Wolves Fancast on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Wolves for Sale, John Paul on Instagram. You'll find him on Facebook as well. As I said, Wolves Fancast, part of the 90 Min Network. Make sure you drop a like and subscribe. To end the show this week, we're promoting local Bilston band Smoking Eskimo with their latest single, English Meadow. Take care. Daydreaming about where the time has gone. Will it always wander on?
down by the water. Well, I try to warm my bones. I skip a couple of stones into a black hole. Just linger on. We drink a cap for the ones who've gone. And under the moon.